This is Charisma News on the Charisma Podcast Network, one daily news story well told. I'm John Matarazzo, and today with me on this podcast is Stephen Woodward. He goes by the Sickness Assassin, and you're going to want to hear what he has to say about how he got that nickname and how God is using him in the healing ministry right now. We'll be back in just a moment after this short message. Burn fat, heal your gut, and reverse disease. Best-selling author Dr. Dawn Colbert persistently searched for the best ways to be healthy and happy for your whole lifetime. His new plan, Beyond Keto, takes the most effective parts of keto and the Mediterranean diets, putting them together to teach you to balance your hormones, eliminate inflammation, boost your energy, and shift your body into its fat-burning zone. Get your copy of Beyond Keto today at mycharismashop.com. This is John Matarazzo from Charisma News, and with me today is the Sickness Assassin, Stephen Woodward. He's got a podcast on the Charisma Podcast Network, The Sickness Assassin, and today we're going to be talking about how God is using him in the ministry of healing and just sharing some testimonies of how God is good and God is a healing God and how God is helped him get through some things in life and how God is using him to help other people get through situations in life as well. Stephen, welcome to the podcast.
John, thanks for having me. I really appreciate the time here.
Yeah. So Stephen, first and foremost, I got to know your story about how you became the Sickness Assassin, because that is a very cool moniker. And, you know, let's hear about how God is using you in that way.
Yeah, so when I started my ministry a couple years ago, I decided that I wanted to sell some t-shirts online to be able to provide people content and also a landing place for people to come in and be able to get some information, see more about Jesus. And so I'd give out cards and things like that. And I was brainstorming with a friend of mine about some t-shirt names. And one of them he brought up was called Sickness Assassin. So I created that original t-shirt off my original website, my ministry. And then when the whole podcast thing came along, I needed to do kind of like a an alter ego. And okay. So I felt like the Sickness Assassin would be a great way into that.
So let's talk about that spiritually, though. What does that mean to you? Like you're being called the Sickness Assassin. How does somebody that needs a healing from God, you know, how do they look at you?
Well, I think that's, you know, it depends on the perspective, but I think from mine, I mean, it's the assassin is what you're doing. You're assassinating the sickness, right? You're commanding that lie to come out. You're commanding the truth to be made whole. And I think that's, you know, very obvious as to what it stands for. I know sometimes people have mentioned that the logo is a little bit questionable, but sure. I like to live on that edge a little bit to make people question and look a little bit deeper into things and not just take it for what it looks like on the surface.
Yeah, you know, taking things beyond just face value is really important, and especially when it comes to healing, because there's a whole group of people that just say that healing doesn't actually happen, and then there's another camp of people that say, you know, healing is the children's bread and it's for today too. So obviously you walk in that second group if you're dealing and ministering in healing. How did you realize that this is something that God wanted to use you in this way?
Well, I ended up going through some trials in my life, and I ended up wanting to seek out some truth. And because I'd gone through all the same things that everybody else does. And, you know, I went through reading the Bible, praying, fasting, things like that, and wasn't getting any results. And so I started to dig a little bit deeper, and I started to seek out more towards the truth aspect versus just an understanding of things. Mm-hmm. And I ended up coming across Royal Family International University, and I went to the class. And I found out that, you know, healing is for everybody. You can walk that out, because really what you're doing is you're walking out the life that Jesus paid for. Mm-hmm. And it's not really walking up. It's not really as much the healing as much as it is allowing Christ to live through you in the same capacity that he would if he was in person today.
Okay. So explain that a little bit more. You know, if Jesus was walking in us, or if Jesus was walking with us in the flesh today, How do you think he would be operating?
I think it would be the same as he was, you know, back in the time when he was. I mean, everything was supernatural. I mean, he multiplied bread, he walked on water, he healed the lepers, he raised the dead. I mean, that's the Christ that lives in us. Galatians 2:20 says, it's no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. So it's him doing the work. So I think that we're just, you know, we're, he was the Son of God. We are sons of God. So we are supposed to be walking out the exact same thing that he walked out, and the same power, the same authority, that's all in us. And so healing is no different than anything else.
So if healing is no different than anything else, then why don't we see it all the time?
Well, the simple answer is unbelief.
Okay.
Unbelief is the major reason that a lot of people don't get healed. I know there's a lot of people that say, I've prayed, I've fasted, I've done this, I've done that. But that doesn't get God's attention. You can't get healed because you did something. It has to be done by grace. It has to be done by belief. When Jesus went to the cross, he took every sickness, every disease to the cross. He died on the cross and he was buried with them. When he was resurrected, he was resurrected without any sickness and disease, and that's the Christ that lives in us. So all sickness and disease has been paid for at this point. So really, it's just a matter of believing that you're already healed, because that's what he paid for.
And so we need to believe that we're already healed. That's the condition that God wants us to be in, is healed, whole, and delivered. Can you tell me about some of those early times where obviously you at one point you had a first person that you were praying for, and there was like the first person that you saw get healed. Can you tell me some stories of how God has used you?
Yeah. The very first person that I prayed for that I knew was healed was when I actually left the class. I prayed for a girl at the airport, and she had some braces on her wrist and she couldn't bend them. And I just commanded her wrist to be healed in Jesus' name. And she said, what did you just do? And I said, that's Jesus. And so she took the braces off. She was bending her wrist. And she said she had some neurological issues. She had to go to a neurologist to have some stuff done. But she normally has pain with her wrist, and that was completely gone. And so the very first person I prayed for got healed. And so right from that point on, it was like, okay, you know, this is something that I need to be doing all the time. And I recall being on the airplane after that and thinking that my life is going to change forever.
Yeah.
And then the more I thought about it, I realized, well, that's going to change a lot of other people's lives who don't have to go to the doctor, don't have to go and have repeat visits and things like that. So, you know, when you start walking this out, it becomes a responsibility.
Yeah. So if I understand correctly, you're not a full-time healing evangelist. You actually have a regular job, but you're being used in this way of healing wherever you are. And I just want to kind of tune in on that a little bit, because so many times we hear amazing testimonies of how God is moving through somebody, and our listeners, it's easy for us to be able to say, well, that's what, you know, they're doing that in full-time ministry. That's what they're focused on. They don't have to deal with the same stresses of life that I'm dealing with, or the same responsibilities of a 9-to-5 job. But you are doing those things, and you're using the platform that God's given you wherever you are. You're not limiting it to just, you know, outside of work or on the pulpit. Talk about balancing ministry and what we would consider a 9-to-5 job.
Yeah. So, I mean, I do work a full-time job. I do engineering work during the day, and I do work from home. So I do have that blessing to be able to do that. But the ministry, it's a full-time job anyway. I mean, you're always ministering to people. You're always walking out the life. You know, like you mentioned in the pulpit, that's just on a Sunday. But when you're walking out the life of Christ, Jesus could never turn that off. He was always walking in who he was. And I think that's what we need to always be doing as well, is walking out that life. And to balance it out, I just live, you know, I read, I study, I do the podcast. I minister to people whenever I can. My information is available online for people to reach out if they need to be prayed for or anything like that. So, you know, I've given my life at this point to the message and to the gospel. And, you know, that's just a responsibility that I have to bear.
So you're going through your daily life, and then you have an opportunity to pray for somebody, or do you go out purposefully looking for those?
Well, if I go out to like the malls or shopping or whatever, I'm aware of things going on around me. If I see people with like a cane or a crutch or and the little scooters, I'll usually approach them and ask them what's going on, why are they in the cart, what's happened with them. And a lot of people are very open to tell you things like that. I think a lot of people, when you start to pray, when you think about praying for somebody, you know, your first thought is, oh, they're going to yell at me. They're going to think I'm crazy. But for the most part, I have that as the complete opposite. Most people are very willing and open to let you pray for them because they want to be healed. And so I do it when I'm out. If I see somebody, it's just a lifestyle. And I do have people that will contact me during the day, will message me on Facebook or in Messenger and things like that and say, hey, can you pray for me? I saw, you know, your video, your podcast. And so I'll just set up a time and say, yeah, I can, you know, reach out to you tonight at a certain time and we'll set up a phone call and we'll talk and, you know, we'll pray for him, get him healed.
So you're not just doing this in person. You are actually doing this through the internet or through a phone call too.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
So that's an interesting point of contact because I'm used to, you know, the Bible says, you know, call forth the elders of the church and, you know, they'll anoint with oil and lay hands on people. But we're not limited by the physical distance.
Right, right. And the centurion said that. He said, just speak the word and my servant will be healed. And he did. And so there's, like you said, there's no time and space. So when we speak and we pray, you know, God's no respecter of persons and no respecter of you know, space and time. So yeah, we get good results.
That's awesome. So tell me about your podcast. What do you talk about and what do you teach about?
So it starts, I mean, most of the teachings that I have, it's usually starts off with I'll be reading a scripture and he'll highlight something to me and a word will come into my mind and I'll just know that that is the word that I'm supposed to label the podcast. And that's the scripture to teach on. And I take that scripture and I start dissecting it and I'll match it with other scriptures that are similar to that. I go through the Greek and I pull those together and I essentially just teach on that. Because I think a lot of people, you know, well, there's like scriptures that'll say, you know, you cast on every thought and imagination that raises itself against the knowledge of God. People say that and they read that and they hear it, but a lot of people don't know what it really means and how to actually preform that. And I'll give you an example. I talked to somebody the other night and they were like, hey, I'm having a hard time with my thoughts and this, that, and the other. And I said, well, here's the scripture that tells you to do that. And they're like, but I don't really understand that. What does that mean? What am I supposed to be doing with that? And so that's part of why I teach is because that's the piece that people are always missing. It's the how to. And so in that situation, what I explained to this person was when you get that very first thought that says, this is going to happen, then you get the next thought that says, this is going to happen, then this is going to happen. And you start to have those 3 and 4 and 5 thoughts. The next thing you know, you're swerved off the road into the ditch, right? And so what that scripture really means to do is when you get that very first thought that says, this is going to happen, at that point, you should immediately not think or not allow yourself to think on that second or third thought. And that's how you cast those thoughts down. You cast it down immediately and say, like somebody says, you know, you're going to get sick with something else, or, you know, your parents had heart disease and you're going to get it. The first thought is, no, I'm not going to get that. I'm not going to accept that. That's a lie. I'm not going to receive that. But some people will say, well, yeah, you know, this did happen. And they start to go down that road and they start to think those things. And so we have to maintain our lane and truth and stay on that and not deviate. And I know, you know, a lot of people have a difficult time with, you know, maintaining their thought life and things like that, but that's the starting point. And, you know, that's the entry point of the enemy is your mind. And so we have to protect that and cast those thoughts down that don't belong to him.
So how do you practically do that? How do you keep your thoughts focused on the Lord and cast those things down? Because it's one thing to say it. It's another thing to actually be able to do that. What are some simple strategies that a listener right now can start implementing?
Well, the first thing that you have to do is you have to know the truth. If you don't know the truth, then you're not going to be able to separate the truth from a lie. If you don't, like I said, if you don't know the truth, you'll have an issue with the lie. If you don't protect your mind by allowing your thoughts to be taken captive, right? So when you have those thoughts, the first thought you say, that's not truth. If that's not truth, then you cast it down. You choose not to think on that. You have to make a choice. Okay. Am I going to think on that or not? It's no different than if you go to a grocery store and you have two items in your hand and you say, well, I have to buy one of these, or should I buy this? It's the same thing. When you're getting things presented to you in your mind, you have to make a choice. Am I going to accept that as truth? Because it may not be the truth, but it may be a truth. Like somebody's parents may have died of cancer. that may be a truth, but that doesn't have to be your truth. And so you have to keep those separate.
Okay. So would you say that, you know, knowing who you are in Christ and focusing on that truth helps you to reject the lie that comes after you? Is that, would that be a good assumption or a good plan?
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. And that's part of the whole truth, because Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. So he is the truth. So knowing him will give you that perspective of knowing, you know, and I think most people understand, you know, the truth from a lie. I think where they have a difficulty is being able to maintain that, because the world floods us with so much information. You know, every channel you have has medication or certain things for you to, you know, take, or do you have a back pain problem that you can do this? They're always influencing you. And you have to be able to turn those things off and recognize when you're being influenced by something that's not of God.
Yeah. And we want to be influenced by God and not the lies of the enemy, because there's so many lies that the devil is just throwing at us. And it's, you know, if we don't take those thoughts captive, we're going to be easily overrun by those lies. And then it's hard to get focused on what God wants us to focus on. You know, Stephen, you know, God's still developing your testimony.
Yeah.
Can you share some of what God has already brought you through in your life? Because you said that you knew the truth and you kind of slid away, but God's brought you back. Can you tell us about that?
Yeah. I mean, what I meant by that is that there's things in my life that have been messed up by a lot of choices that I made in the past. And a lot of those are still being restored and being corrected. But, you know, he took me out of, you know, a lot of drinking, a lot of bad habits, a lot of, you know, just thinking the wrong way. And one of the biggest things is, you know, you can get caught up in religion. And that is just doing something to get something. A lot of people get caught up into that. And that's where you're trying to earn something from God. You're trying to get healed. You're trying to get him to give you something, right? And so I got through a lot of those things. And I think that's a big reason that I teach what I teach now, is because I understand that concept and, you know, before and after the cross and things. So it's mostly just been a lot of just, you know, the drinking, the bad habits, the mindsets. And yeah, he still has some things left to take care of, but I'm looking forward to.
So you're still a work in progress, and God is using you to heal the sick, to see people recover, and to walk in their wholeness and purpose that God's given them. That's awesome, you know, because so many times we think that we have to be at a certain level before God's going to use us. But you are, in your podcast, you're teaching people what you're learning and how God is using you, and encouraging people that wherever you are, that God can use you. You don't have to be, you know, a holier than thou Christian. You don't have to, you know, fast 40 days every month. That's an impossibility. But, you know, how does somebody get started? How does somebody say, you know, that person over there, I feel like God wants me to pray for them. What do they do?
Just say yes. It's literally that simple.
Okay.
And I'll give you an example. When people go out to pray for someone, or let me say it this way. If somebody goes out to a grocery store and you walk in and you see somebody that has an arm that's in a sling, the first thought people will have is, I should go pray for that person, because that would be what Jesus would do, and that would be compassionate, and that person needs help. The second thought they have is, no, they're busy, and I don't want to walk up and just bother them, because that might seem rude, or it might seem like really weird, so I don't want to go up and bother them. So the first thought is always the Holy Spirit saying, go pray for that person, because that's compassion. Our flesh is selfish, and it would never want to be compassionate. It doesn't want to be, you know, exposed and things like that. The second thought is obviously your flesh saying, no, don't go over and do that. So those are the types of things that will stop you from stepping out, is that unbelief that you have anything that you have to offer. As long as you can understand that Galatians 2:20, that he lives in you, and it's no longer you who lives, it's Christ that lives in you, then you can walk up to that person and you can pray and they will be healed. Now, what I always tell people is, if you speak over them and command them to be healed, you have to know that they will be healed. If you go up to somebody with the, I don't know, or I'm hoping it happens, a lot of times you're not going to get anything out of that, because the wrong expectations have been set. You have to know that Christ is in you, and Christ is laying their hands on that person, and it's not actually you. And you'll get favorable results with that. I've had a lot of people that I've talked to and have done that. I'll even have people, when I'm on the phone with them, I'll say, you have back pain and your neck hurts. And I'll pray for them. And then I'll say, no, you put your hand on your back and you tell it to go. And then they get healed that way as well. So I teach people, even when I'm praying for them over the phone, to take that authority and pray for themselves.
Wow. Wow. So, Stephen, as we're coming close to the end of our time here, I would be missing a great opportunity if I didn't ask you to pray for our listeners that feel like they want to be used in healing so that they can get started. Could you just pray a blessing upon them and encourage them to go out and pray for the sick?
Yeah, absolutely. So, Father, I thank you for those listeners out there right now that are listening to this podcast. I thank you, Father, that you love them, that you care for them. I thank you, Father, that you want to use them as a vessel for your glory. And we just ask you, Lord, to just open their eyes to truth, that give them a willing heart, that they would be able to walk this out, Lord, that you would give them wisdom and revelation, and that you help them with any issues with unbelief. Father, we thank you, Lord, that you are an amazing Father. We thank you, Lord, for those that are willing to go out. We thank you, Lord, that you are healing every person that they lay their hands on. We just honor you and praise you, Father, right now in Jesus' name.
Amen. Amen. Stephen, thank you so much for sharing your story and just encouraging people that they can be the ones making news. You know, we can be making headlines as we are partnering with Jesus and how he wants to heal people. How do people find your podcast if they want to learn more about healing?
You can find my podcast, obviously, on Charisma Media. You can also find it on sicknessassassin.com/podcast.
That's good. cpnshows.com and look for The Sickness Assassin with Stephen Woodward, and also check out his website, thesicknessassassin.com. Stephen, thank you so much for joining us on Charisma News Podcast and sharing how God is using you, and I look forward to seeing how God continues to use you.
Great. Thank you so much, John. I appreciate your time.
Thank you for listening to today's Charisma News Podcast, one story, well told. For more stories, visit us online at charismanews.com. Subscribe to this podcast for more Charisma News every weekday. This is John Matarazzo. God bless you.